No man can pass all those years following the rough existence of an elephant hunter without meeting with many strange adventures, and in one way or another, old Quatermain has certainly seen his share. Well, the story that I'm going to tell you in the following pages is one of the latter of these adventures, though I forget the exact year in which it happened. At any rate, I know that it was the only trip upon which he took his son Harry, who is since dead, with him, and that Harry was then about 14. And now for the story, which I will repeat as nearly as I can in the words in which Hunter Quatermain told it to me one night in the old oak-panelled vestibule of his house in Yorkshire. We were talking about gold mining. "Gold mining," he broke in. "Ah, yes, I once went gold mining at Pilgrim's Rest in the Transvaal, and it was after that we had the business about Jim Jim and the lions. Do you know Pilgrim's Rest?" "Well, it is, or was, one of the queerest little places you ever saw. The town itself was pitched in a stony valley, with mountains all about it, and in the middle of such scenery as one does not often get the chance of seeing. Many and many is the time that I've thrown down my pick and shovel in disgust, clambered out of my claim and walked a couple of miles or so to the top of some hill. Then I would lie down in the grass and look out over the glorious stretch of country. The smiling valleys, the great mountains touched with gold, real gold of the sunset, and clothed in sweeping robes of bush, and I'd stare into the depths of the perfect sky above. Yes, and thank heaven that I'd got away from the cursing and the coarse jokes of the miners and the voices of those Basutu Kaffirs as they toiled in the sun. The memory of which is with me yet. Well, for some months I dug away patiently at my claim, till the very sight of a pick or of a washing trough became hateful to me. 100 times I lamented my own folly in having invested £800, which was about all that I was worth at the time, in this gold mining. But like other better people before me, I'd been bitten by the gold bug, and now was forced to take the consequences. I brought a claim out of which a man had made a fortune, £5,000 or £6,000 at least, as I thought, very cheap. That is, I gave him £500 down for it. It was all that I'd made by a very rough years in elephant hunting beyond the Zambezi, and I sighed deeply and prophetically when I saw my successful friend, who was a Yankee, sweep up the roll of standard banknotes with a lordly air of a man who had made his fortune, and cram them into his breeches pockets. "Well," said I to him, the happy vendor, "it is a magnificent property, and I only hope that my luck will be as good as yours has been." He smiled. To my excited nerves it seemed that he smiled ominously, as he answered me in a peculiar Yankee drawl, "I guess, stranger, as I ain't the one to make a man quarrel with his food, more especial when there ain't no more going of the rounds. And as for that there claim, well, she's been a good nigger to me. And between you and me, stranger, speaking man to man, now that there ain't any filthy lucre between us to obscure the features of the truth, I guess she's about worked out." I gasped. The fellow's effrontery took the breath out of me. Only 5 minutes before, he'd been swearing by all his gods, and they appeared to be numerous and mixed, that there were 6 fortunes left in the claim, and that he was only giving it up because he was downright weary of shovelling out gold. "Don't be so vexed, stranger," went on my tormentor. "Perhaps there is some shine in the old girl yet. Anyway, you're downright good fellow, you are, therefore you will, I guess, have a real A1 opportunity of working on the feelings of fortune. Anyway, it will bring the muscle up upon your arm, and the stuff is uncommon stiff, and what is more, you will in the course of a year earn a sight more than $2,000 in value of experience." Then he just went in time, for in another moment I should have gone for him, and I saw his face no more. Well, I set to work on the old claim with my boy Harry and 6 Kaffirs to help me, which, seeing that I had put nearly all my worldly wealth into it, was the least that I could do. And we worked, my word, we did work. Early and late we went at it, but never a bit of gold did we see. No, not even a nugget large enough to make a scarf pin out of. The American gentleman had secured it all and left us the sweepings. For 3 months we went on, till at last I'd paid away all, or very nearly all.